The text this afternoon comes from Psalm 23. Here's the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for your promise that we will dwell in your house forever. We give thanks to you that you are our shepherd, and your Son is our shepherd. So Father, please lead us, and please protect us, and please give us your promise and assure us of your promise. Nourish us of your own loving, shepherding voice. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. This Psalm 23 is one of the most sung psalms in the history of Christianity. It is one of the most treasured psalms as well. As we read, this psalm gives us a beautiful image. It is a picture of provision. It is a picture of a contentment. And it's a picture of safety. We can imagine that in green pastures, Yahweh, our God, sits with us. And we are surrounding him. And we are singing with joy, because we love him so much. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David, the psalmist here, confesses that the Lord, Yahweh is my shepherd. The King of the universe is my shepherd. The King, the Creator of the whole world is my own, my personal shepherd. And also he says, therefore, he lacks nothing. He's not in need. He will not lack anything. He cannot lack anything because the Lord Yahweh is what he needs. Christ is all in all. So Jehovah, the good shepherd, is everything to this psalmist. That's how he confesses that the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd, and he's the one that I need the most. Therefore, I shall not want. I believe there are three steps in David's mind to develop how he can confess this way. At each step, he goes further and further. So let's first look at the first step. It is verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Through the course of his life, David, the psalmist, learned about the Lord. And he learned who the Lord is and how the Lord took care of him. If we pay attention to the first phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Here we have to know that it's not an easy job to make sheep to lie down. Sheep are animals that are full of fear. They constantly fear. They are constantly worried about a lot of things. They're filled with fear. They're filled with their worries. They just doubt. They just doubt their safety. So they are constantly tense and scared. Let me quote here from a person or pastor who used to be a shepherd. Quote, "It is almost impossible for sheep to be made to lie down. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. It is significant that to be at rest, there must be a definite sense of freedom from fear, tension, aggravations, and hunger." Nevertheless, the shepherd here in Psalm 23 knows how to comfort his sheep. He knows how to make them feel safe. He knows, he understands their frailty. He understands and he sympathizes with them. So let's look at the next phrase. "He leads me beside still waters." Sheep are not smart. They don't have a good discernment. For example, they will drink any water regardless of the cleanness of the water. Even though the water tastes bad or gone bad, a sheep can enjoy drinking it anytime. Quote, one more quote, "I do not know what sheep would score in an animal IQ, but I think they would be close to the bottom of the scale. You watch them as they pause in front of a stream. They know they can't jump it or swim it, but what they do, they jump it anyway." But the shepherd here in described or explained in Psalm 23 is so caring, so protective of his sheep. He watches over his sheep all the time. So he knows how dull they are. So he follows them. He takes care of them. He's not going to let any of his sheep to be in any danger. Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Furthermore, sheep seem to enjoy going astray. They constantly go somewhere without knowing where they are going. They are not obedient. Sheep are quite stubborn, so they don't listen. So they just want to run away from their own safety. But let me say this way. The shepherd in Psalm 23 doesn't care about their dullness, doesn't care about their stubbornness in the sense that he knows how dull they are. He knows how stubborn they are. But he is patient. He's patient with his sheep. So he's not going to stop rescuing his sheep from their danger, regardless how many times they go astray. They leave from the shepherd. This shepherd will not stop rescuing them from their lostness. Now I want you to picture a person in your mind. Let's say the person is full of worries and fears. The person is quite irrational. And there's no real stable peace in him or in her. Plus, the person is spiritually dull. So he's going to take any opportunity to follow his or her sinful desires. Moreover, this person is so stubborn. He must or she must be in his own control. So now, I would like you to meet the person. His name is, or her name is. Okay, do you remember your own name? We are just like this. David used to be a shepherd. Strikingly, he likens himself to a sheep. So he knows how dull sheep are, how stubborn sheep are, how fragile this animal is or are. But he likens himself to a sheep. Why? Because he has realized that he's no different from any sheep. He knows that he has been so rebellious against God. He has been so worried about his circumstances. He followed his sinful desires again and again. But he confessed that, nevertheless, my shepherd, my God, has never left me. So now I can say that I am his sheep, and he is a patient, loving, tender shepherd. That's how he confesses that, why he confesses that Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now let's go one step further. Let's read verses 4 and 5. But let's read from verse 3 together. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Let's here notice that there is a change of tone of voice from the person he to you. In other words, until so far, David talked about his shepherd. But now from verse 4, he's talking to his own shepherd personally, intimately. In other words, everything suddenly becomes more intimate, more intense, and more personal. God's blessing is abounding, overwhelming, regardless of the hostile circumstances. As we read verse 4 and verse 5, we see that there are many evil things around us. We have enemies who want to assault us all the time. But we have to remember that our Christian life is not a sugarcoating, well, happily ever lived, easygoing, that kind of life. Our Christian life can be very difficult, can be very hard, enough for us to say, Lord, it is so hard. Why did you even save me from my unbelief? Sometimes we want to say like that. But here we have to learn from David that regardless of our hostile circumstances, whatever goes through in our life, God's blessings are always overwhelming, always abounding, that we cannot count. It is overflowing, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what we are going through. Do you remember the life of David? His father-in-law tried to kill him many times. Remember, right? Also, his father-in-law gave his wife to another man. What a horrific thing was. And not only that, later David took her back, but she, Michal, did not understand the faith, David's faith. Michal didn't understand why David was so passionate for God. So David was really a lonely man. Also, if you remember, he had to one time pretend that he was out of the mind. Was like lunatic. If I say one more, one of his sons tried to kill him. That's what David went through in his life. That how is it possible for him to confess like this? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that mean? Because he went through a lot of things, so he was supposed to say, my life was so horrible. My life was so difficult. He didn't say it that way. Even when I was surrounded by thousands of enemies, it was my Lord who gave me the sleep. I was confident that he was taking care of me. Even when I went through a lot of problems, horrific situations, it was my Lord who lifted up my head. And it was my Lord who anointed my head. In other words, in my difficult situation, my shepherd always, he was always with me, and he honored me, and he glorified me, and he lifted me up before my enemies. So whatever it was, anything that was against me could not overwhelm me, overtake me, because my Lord Yahweh was with me. Moreover, it was my Yahweh who prepared an amazing feast before my enemies. It is true, my life was hard, but I found an amazing joy in my hard life. And I remember that my cup has always overflowed. My cup is full, overflowing with his blessing. So regardless of whatever happened to me, I learned that my God was with me and he blessed me. He never stopped blessing me. He never stopped anointing me. So now I cannot count all the blessings. Looking back, I cannot count how many blessings that I was given by my Lord. Therefore, I can say that my cup always, will always overflow, full, always. And he's the one who loves me so much. Now let's read verse 6. He now goes one step further. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David says, surely goodness and God's faithful covenant love will follow me or chase me all the days of his life. The word for follow here is better translated as pursue or chase, because this Hebrew word is a very strong word, kind of gripping word. So God's goodness, God's faithful love are chasing me, are pursuing me. Do you see the order there? It's not like we pursue God's goodness, God's covenant love with all our heart. It is God who pursues us. It is God's goodness and it is God's love that chase us. In other words, I want you to know that you cannot flee from his goodness. Did you know that? You cannot run away from his love for you. You might try, but you cannot flee eventually from his chasing love, his pursuing goodness for you, because it is impossible. Our God is faster than you are. Our God is wiser than you are. He knows where you are. Wherever you are, God will be there. And He will pursue you with His own goodness, with His own everlasting love. So you cannot stop Him from chasing you. So you have to, at some point in your life, you're going to realize that you have to say, Lord, maybe I have been trying to flee from you. Maybe I have not realized how great your love is for me. Now I confess that I'm not gonna run away from you because it is impossible. So now I am turning around. Now I am giving my heart to you, Lord. As you have been pursuing me, now I want to pursue you as well. Lord, teach me. As your goodness has been with me, chasing me, pursuing me. Now I want to give and trust my whole being to you, Lord. That's how this confession is made. David has realized that it was not his own self-righteousness. It was not his own determination. It was not his own great life, great talents that made his life blessed. It was God who pursued him. God pursued him, chased him all the days of his life. That's how David can confess that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then we want to ask this question. Why does God pursue us? Why does God chase us with His own goodness and love? The answer can be found in verse 3. So let me go back to verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name's sake. That phrase is the central aspect of our salvation. It means that we are created for Him. We are saved for His own glory. Our shepherd is Yahweh, which means I am that I am. So our whole salvation is centered upon that phrase, I am that I am. In other words, His absolute reality is the foundation of all other things in this universe. His absolute reality is the consummation of all other realities. In other words, who we are here can be found only in the phrase, I am that I am. Our God has His own purposes and plan. So whatever He's doing in our life is actually carrying out His own purposes, His plan for His own glory. We have to know that our salvation is centered upon the fact that our God passionately pursues His own glory. That's maybe the most important teaching in the Bible. Our God pursues His own glory, and He will not, He cannot fail to pursue and achieve that purpose. In other words, our salvation, let me say this way, God is fully engaged in our salvation. That's where we can find our assurance. Because God pursues His own majesty, God fully engages Himself in that process. One more thing, God's glory is manifested, can be manifested most gloriously through the grace of Christ. God's majesty, God's glory is manifested most gloriously, most vividly through the death of Christ. God is so passionate. We have to learn this truth. Our God is so passionate to pursue His own majesty, His own glory. In that fact, we can find our assurance, because His passion is how much? To the degree that He sent His own Son to the world. Did you know that? In the pursuit of His righteousness, in the pursuit of His own namesake, God decided to send His only begotten Son to this world so that His glory can be manifested in this universe. And we are wrapped up in the glory. That's what salvation is about. We are invited to appreciate His glory. Also, we are invited to stand in the glory of Christ. Let me say one more. Did you know that Jesus Christ lived a life of sheep? He Himself became a sheep. Can you believe that? He was a fully man, so He Himself could confess this Psalm, Psalm 23. But strangely, even though we walk through the valley of the death of shadow of the death, the Lord will protect us. The Lord will prepare a feast for us. But when Jesus went through the shadow of death, it didn't work that way. When He walked through the death of shadow of death, our God was silent. Our God was indifferent. Our God rejected that little sheep, the lamb. Our God crushed that sheep, that we can confess this psalm, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He will be with me. He will comfort me, and He will anoint me, and He will prepare a feast for me. It's all about His glory. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know that we have to pursue His glory as He pursues His own glory. That's when or how we can rejoice in Him the most. We have to stand in the same direction for His name's sake. That's it. For His glory, our salvation has been made. So pursue Him and love Him more. Can you confess that He is your own shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I belong to Him. He's mine and I'm His. Can you confess like that? He is mine. He is my shepherd, and I belong to Him, and I am His. That should be our confession, and that should be our singing all the days of our lives. Before I close, let me share with you my own personal experience. Some of you know I became a Christian when I was 20, and I think it was when I was 22 or 23. A friend of mine came to me and shared with me some story, saying he visited a church and he shared with me what happened during the worship service. The story goes like this. The pastor He's a very old pastor. Also, he is about to probably retire. So he decided to preach on Psalm 23. And he decided his title as, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," definitely in the Korean version. And then he gave the title and text to the secretary. But the secretary was not comfortable with that title because he thought, or she thought, the pastor made a mistake because it was the first one. So maybe it was not the title, maybe the pastor made a mistake. Just he put first one there. So he contacted the pastor saying, "Is it right? What is your sermon text, a sermon title?" And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's it. So now the secretary, there was some misunderstanding. So he became a little bit more upset because now the title became longer like this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's it. Without knowing this truth, the pastor led the worship service and the time of preaching came up. So he said, "Now let's turn to Psalm 23. The title is, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he found this phrase, that's it. And suddenly the pastor broke out with tears. The old minister just could not move on. Suddenly he looked back all his life and he cannot help but say, "Yes, that's it. The Lord is my shepherd. That's it. What else do I need? The Lord is what I need the most. And the Lord has been my shepherd. He has never left me. That's it. That's all I need. The Lord, Yahweh, is my own shepherd who loves me so much. Who loves me so much." To be honest with you, at that time, I didn't understand why the older minister cried. I thought, what's the big deal about this psalm? It's only there are 6 verses, and he didn't speak to me too much. But as time goes by, I start to understand why the minister cried before the congregation. I wept and wept and wept. What about you, dear brothers and sisters? Is this your psalm? Is Psalm 23 your own confession to the Lord? Let's remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, it is hard to count all the blessings that you have granted upon us. We are so sinful, and we are so prone to following our own sinful desires. But you have always been patient with us. You have always been ready to bless us. And you have been pursuing us with your goodness and love. So we want to respond to you with our own faithfulness and love. So please take us into your heart. Please be our shepherd forever. Please let us dwell in your house forever. We love you so much, and please let us know that you love us infinitely as well. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.